Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hello.
How's your week been, man?
It's been alright, it's been very busy. I've done a whole week of WrestleTalk this week.
It's been lovely having you here every
Just
day.
Here I am. Sitting in the corner, grumpy, tapping away.
It's been annoying, Datsun. It's been lovely having you around.
Winding him up. Giving him the good old-fashioned hazing.
Yeah, no, it's been very nice having you in the office all week because we've been busy getting prepped for Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that we have pre-recorded.
Santa's bringing you content this year, boys and girls.
Absolutely.
Whether you've been on the naughty list or the nice list, because we need the flipping views.
You are getting content out the wazoo over the Christmas period. Two videos a day, including Christmas Day. So we're going to be recording our Christmas special next week. I think there's a second video that goes up on Christmas. I might have just made that up. You're definitely getting a video on Christmas.
So make your granddad watch.
Yeah, sit down, because it'll be the three of us drinking, opening up presents. So as we said on yesterday's episode, if you do want to send us any Christmas presents, get in touch, luke@wrestletalk.com, and I'll let you know the postage address to send stuff across. Do not spend money. Apart from the postage, obviously, because I think you have to spend money on that. But if you've just got tat around the house you want to get rid of, then that's what we're after. Stuff you can fit inside a very cheap Jiffy envelope. Envelope?
Envelope.
Envelope.
It's a new way of saying it.
Envelope. I've got a quick email here for... It's a mailbag question, which we don't tend to do on the podcast, but it is specifically for the NXT review, so I thought I would ask you about it. It's board game related. I'm going to save it for the outro. Okay. Tease! I'm going to tease that for the outro instead.
Male tease.
So instead, we're going to read this Rusev Hey in from Martin Harmon. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I emailed you before about one ICW Rusev Hey where I got clotheslined by Drew McIntyre, and I've got another one from ICW for you now. Whoa, this is lovely. Even though I live near Reading in Berkshire, mate, that's where I used to live. Literally where, A, I was born, and B, where I grew up.
I'm just going to tell you now, Luke, you have just fallen for your local sports team.
Have I?
Yeah, because he's mentioned where you are, where you're from, and you're like, yeah, I'm marking out, man.
I'm very excited because it's not very often you hear people from my neck of the woods. I was a 16 bus route. Kid, yeah. So let me know which bus route you get. Even though, well, this happened when at the
I know. That's what I remembered. Luke Owen loves a chat about bus routes.
Oh man, if I can have really niche conversation about Reading bus routes, then I'm a happy man. Even though, like, I've not lived there now for like nearly 5 years, so it's probably massively changed. I just have no idea that it's changed. But anyway. Even though I live near Reading, near Reading in Berkshire, my wife and I decided to make this 770-mile round trip to Glasgow for Fear and Loathing 11. Rather, it was a great show with an amazing atmosphere filled with merry wrestling fans. I can tell you, it was a damn sight cheaper to get around in compared to Progress Wembley. Best match of the night by far was Queen of Insanity match between Kaylee Ray and Viper, and I've seen some gifs of that. That did look like a heck of a lot of fun.
It looks minging.
Anyway, after the show, we went to a bar which served ICW cocktails, the menu for which I have attached, and was fond of the Jack Jester Gut Fester and the Joe Hendry Local Hero. While I was there, we met WrestleTalk general manager, pantomime legend, and sometime professional wrestler Grado. He was lovely, and as the BBC ICW documentaries got me and my wife into ICW and independent wrestling, it was a real joy to meet him. He really appreciated the distance we travelled and was amazing to chat to. I celebrated by having a Grado bomb, which was disgusting. Anyway, thanks guys. Have a Merry Christmas from Martin. And he's attached, because it's Pixel, didn't happen, he's attached a photo there. That is Martin.
Oh, it's Grado.
With Grado, and I'm going to assume your wife, Martin. Some confirmation of that would be excellent.
Oh, we've met Martin before.
I was going to say, we have met Martin before, haven't we? Was he the chap I was chatting to about the 16 bus routes last time? At the Rev Pro show?
Possibly.
I think it is.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I apologise if I have forgotten, but it was...
It didn't seem unlikely that there would be two people from where you're from.
Yeah, I also had quite a lot to drink that night, and I was I was rambling on and on. I could just tell he was looking at me going like, I've got to get a long... I've got a long train ride.
Yeah, he's got to get
home.
The 16 bus home.
Stop talking to me, you idiot. And I'm like, they're going like, no, let's talk more about my hometown. he's also sent across the ICW cocktail menu. So he said that he really liked the Jack Jester Gut Fester, which was Jack Daniels. Ooh, amaretto and cola. Yes, please. Ooh. Thirsty Like the Wolf, obviously for Wolfgang. A jug of Smirnoff Ice, vodka Southern Comfort, and orange juice. So, yeah, orange vodka, basically. Coffee Break, Coffee Patron, tequila topped with Baileys. Now, I'm not a big tequila guy, but I do like a Baileys.
The Baileys is nice.
What else we got?
Dallas Golf Club.
Club Libre. Havana 7, cola and fresh lime. What was the Grado bomb? So it was a shot of
Goldschlager
and Jaeger in a glass of Bucky.
Oh.
What else
was in Buckfast?
Maybe.
That's disgusting.
Joe Hendry.
That is horrible. That's horrible.
Joe Hendry's local hero is Malibu Peach Schnapps, Grenadine and pineapple juice.
Mm-hmm.
And a BT gunshot wound is a shot of Goldschlager, Sambuca, Absinthe, and Tabasco.
Also gross. Diggy Divers, Turbo Shandy, a pint of Smirnoff Ice, and Carling.
A pint! A pint of Smirnoff Ice.
Kenny is the bollocks. Tequila,
Cointreau,
cranberry, and pineapple juice.
God, which one would I have?
And then the Kirkwood. A can of Pepsi.
Nice.
I'd have that.
Because I'm not a big spirits guy. There's no gin-based ones there, so immediately I'm not warming to any of them, because that's my spirit of choice.
I think the Jack Jester's probably pretty nice.
Yeah, I do like amaretto and Coke.
I think the Dallas Golf Club Libre is probably pretty decent, too.
Yeah.
I think the ones with the least ingredients. I think, because the problem is, they've done a thing where they get to the end and they go, this and this and this, and... Oh, Buckfast.
this, and that.
Yeah, they're just picking at random.
Yeah. Oh, and Tabasco. So,
barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I think I'd also have added Joe Hendry local hero. Anyway, thank you very much for your email, Martin. Always is appreciated. Let's crack on with the show. We've got some Get Betters to read out as well. So let's get into the show itself. We're going to be talking about a NXT... re-debut, I suppose you could say, although it's a one-off thing. WWE's Tyler Breeze. WWE's Raw's Tyler Breeze has returned to NXT for one night only, and we're going to talk about it. Here's the show. Last night on NXT, Ricochet, he last week had said he was issuing an open challenge to anyone to challenge him for the North American Championship, and would you, Adam, and bloody believe it?
It's only Tyler Breeze.
It's only Prince Pretty himself coming out, and this is not Breezango Tyler Breeze either. This was not Raw or SmackDown Tyler Breeze. This was proper NXT Prince Pretty Tyler Breeze, with the entrance and everything, with the original music, the whole presentation. And it was bloody tremendous.
It was good fun.
Bloody tremendous. Ian back, greeted to an absolute hero's welcome.
Welcome back chance as
absolutely.
Well,
I think that the people who were there to watch this, obviously this had got leaked out because it's a taped show, but like the people who were there in the building most likely had no idea. Like, in a million years wouldn't have thought this was going to be Tyler Breeze.
No, absolutely not. I would have assumed it was Adam Cole or someone of that ilk, or, you know,
yeah.
EC3 already had a match on the show, but someone like that, or, you know, maybe Dijakovic, maybe that would have been his debut.
Yeah.
We found out later, obviously, that was not to be.
Or a Keith Lee, or like someone from the NXT UK brand. But no, it was Tyler Breeze. And I thought that was actually a really nice surprise. And Triple H has said in interviews recently that he thinks it's a good idea for WWE main roster guys and girls to go back down to NXT. Not because they need to be like retrained or relearn things or anything like that. Just because it's an opportunity for them to showcase what they can do.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Stretch out your wrestling muscles.
Well, I think, yeah, there's multiple reasons why it's a good thing, right? You know, you've got someone who has already graduated NXT going down. There's things, surely, that they can teach the next crop of talent, not just about wrestling, but also about like the actual WWE system once you move up into the main roster.
It's, main,
you
know, roster,
it's time to start telling people, like, yeah, when you get there, it's going to be like this, you're going to do this, this is going to be your life. Also, probably, don't expect to be the champion.
Yeah.
It's probably not worth it. but then when they go down, also, yeah, they get to, you know, Tyler Breeze here did more than Tyler Breeze has done.
Oh, in years.
Four months.
Like, absolutely.
The most interesting thing I can remember thinking about Tyler Breeze on the main roster is the Master of Disguise thing.
Yes, when he was doing it with Breezango.
Which
and they
was
were doing
fairly
their,
funny.
Yeah, they were doing their fashion files. Yeah.
And all that stuff was great, but that wasn't the stuff that he's actually very good at.
No,
which is the wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
And it turns out he can prove it again. But it's also a lovely time. It must also be very nice for them to sort of, you know, there aren't many places in WWE where you get to go back and have a hero's welcome within your own company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, like, you get the hometown welcome when you go somewhere even remotely near where you're from.
Yep.
I'm in the UK. That's close enough.
That's close enough.
But yeah, like, it must be nice for him to go back and be like, well, I've had to do this thing for ages, and we've been, you know, Breezango have been nowhere near anything important for a very long time.
Nope.
And Fandango's obviously been injured, so they've been off telly. It's a lovely opportunity to use someone who has been devastatingly underused on the main roster.
And like, Tyler Breeze was always like the classic example. I've used this in several videos before, but it was when Triple H did an interview specifically referring to Tyler Breeze, saying that, you know, we wouldn't bring anyone up to the main roster unless we had 6 months of storylines already mapped out for them, which is clearly a load of balderdash. That's absolutely not true whatsoever. 2018 is
6 months worth. 6 months worth of WWE storylines is just you're facing Baron Corbin every week.
Yeah.
Off you trot, Finn.
Now get in tag team. and like, Tyler came up, good bit of fanfare, got into a feud with Dolph Ziggler. And I think, like, instantly from the outset, they kind of, like, they didn't really know what to do with Tyler Breeze. Because they paired him with Summer Rae.
Mm.
Like, they looked at Tyler Breeze and was like, you're not okay on your own. What you need is someone to come out with you. Summer Rae, Summer Breeze. Oh, look, it writes itself.
Doesn't make me feel fine.
Absolutely not. And I really think that That hurts him a lot up on the main roster. And then, you know, he was like in sort of the IC title picture. But then that was like it. And then he just fell off the face of the earth and just became a jobber. Started this tag team with Fandango, Breezango, which had like a really good run last year. You know, during that Fashion Files.
Yes, yeah.
When the Fashion Files were on TV each and every week and people were really enjoying it.
That was one of the they lucked out into that,
didn't they?
They were given one thing 1 week and they nailed it. And then WWE was like, that's brilliant, more of that. Fortunately, we also have to have wrestling matches, which we don't want you to do.
To be honest, like, that's not the worst thing. Like,
if you're
given an opportunity and you grab the ball and you run with it, that's a good thing. And they had gotten into a really fun feud with the Usos because it was a real, like, you know, there was a real difference there. Yeah, the real Super Serious when they were heels, like Super Serious, where it's like street gangster
day one
Uso. Day one is stuff. Day one is H and you got the comedy side of Breezango, and they had some really fun matches together. But then after that it was like, yeah, we're bored of this now, just do Fashion Files. And then, yeah, we're bored of that as well, we'll just put those on WWE.com. Fandango's injured.
Well, they took them to Raw, didn't they?
Yes.
Were like, we want Fashion Files, take that, do it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're bored of this now. So it's a real shame, but I've always been a big fan of Tyler Breeze, and I've always been a bit of an advocate for him up on the main roster, being like, he is someone you can easily utilize into that. He's not a main eventer. Like, you know, he was done in NXT because everyone's about the same height, but up on the main roster, when you've got Brawny the Strowman and you've got ginormous people like that, Baron Corbin, when he's like 12 foot or whatever he is, you have to sort of slot them into this mid-card scene or this upper mid-card scene. And there's nothing wrong with being in that level.
No, absolutely not.
And I think Tyler is perfectly suited for that level.
He's got a fun, like, he's got a good look. He's got a fun, I like the Prince Pretty gimmick.
I love it.
It all works. It's like, it's something different, and that's one thing we need. We don't need another, you know, we don't need Lars Sullivan on the main roster to do exactly what Braun Strowman has been doing.
Oh, no, Lars is doing very different things. Lars is lurking.
Yes.
Braun Strowman is, like, dominating and being a monster. Lars is lurking. He's basically Snitsky 2.0. Snitsky and Heidenreich. Lovely stuff.
Great. I'm excited.
Yeah, he's going to intimidate Michael Cole into reading poetry or whatever that scene was. But anyway, so Tyler Breeze returned down to NXT for this one-off appearance to answer the Ricochet's Open Challenge. And they had a very, very fun TV match. So bloody nice to see Tyler Breeze wrestle again. Wrestling, you know, not a long match.
No.
But it was a good amount of time. And they got a lot of good stuff in there.
But it's the exact sort of thing you can do with Ricochet as well. So you can just put him in matches with people where he gets to do fun stuff and they get to do fun stuff.
Yeah.
And that person can be from NXT, from NXT UK. They could have come down from the main roster. We could bring Cesaro back for a week or whatever.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah.
Or, you know, and God forbid if he ever makes it back to the company, Neville. But, you know, like,
yeah.
But that's sort of like something, some people of that ilk, like, who have all gone on to do, you know, have troubles on the main roster. Maybe Cesaro was a bad example. Maybe a year ago Cesaro would have been a better example. But, like, there are plenty of people who've gone up. Ty Dillinger would be a perfect example of someone who could come back down to NXT,
yes.
Do a little match, get a little bit of hype because people actually care about him there.
Oh, absolutely. Like, once he's come back from his hand injury, like, rather than just, you know, dump him back on SmackDown to lose to Randy Orton, let's say, just like have him go down to NXT for a couple of weeks, do a couple of matches down there, and you're right, just like shake off the ring rust, get in front of a crowd that really, really got behind you, and just sort of like reignite that passion again. So then you can go back to SmackDown and lose to Randy Orton.
But that's the cool thing about NXT. The cool thing is that it takes place in the same place every single time it's filmed.
Yep.
So when people do come back, it's the same dudes in the audience. It's the same, you know, it's the same guys and girls watching it all the time anyway. So they're like genuinely like, oh my God, I used to see you all the time.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like the Impact Zone back in the 2006, 2007 era of TNA. Actually, even upwards to later on than that. But like really in those sort of like embryonic days of TNA when they're in the Impact Zone from like 05 onwards. That was like, it was the same group of people who were always going to those shows. So you could feel the crowd getting into certain people. Like Lance Hoyt, all of a sudden, one week was massively over because Hoytomania was running wild with like six people in the front row. But like, because they all had Hoytomania t-shirts and had signs for Hoytomania, and they went Hoyt, 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 all of a sudden, like,
it felt like this really big thing. Yeah,
he feels like a big deal now. And he got a push off the back of that.
Yeah.
It's one of the great things about the NXT crowd. So well done, all of you that go there. Hi, Karen.
You've just got to hope that, yeah, Vince sees this tape.
well, he won't because he's never watched an episode of NXT.
Never
watched an episode of NXT in his life.
Nor I don't like the colours.
Or NXT UK, which is hardly surprising. Hardly surprising.
I don't get the network at home.
His internet's not good enough.
Yeah.
It's on dial-up.
Yeah, it's not fast enough.
So this was a really, really fun match. Lots of back and forth action with Ricochet doing like his 619s and his forearm flying stuff. Lots of exchanges towards the end, like some really good like blocking kicks and stuff like that. Doing a double crossbody for a double down, supermodel kick and a reverse Rana. Like,
that was wicked. That bit.
Yeah,
that was really, the bit really where good. They flipped out of all the suplexes. They tried to suplex each other. They kept dropping out.
Yeah.
Back suplex. Ricochet flips out. Back suplex. Breeze flips out. Ricochet does a flip off the ropes. Breeze turns around. Kicks him in the face.
Yes. Yeah, like supermodel kicks and like going for the beauty shot, and Ricochet catches him and hits the Michinoku driver for the win. But I thought this was really lovely, particularly when they were like, so Ricochet makes his big old entrance with like the lights and whatnot. Then he gets into the ring and the announcer, I don't know what her name is, but she clearly knew that it was Tyler. Obviously, she knows it's Tyler because she has to make the announcements.
Certainly.
But she had the biggest smile on her face because she knew what was coming. Yeah. So she's like, oh, this crowd's going to really enjoy this.
This is going to be really... Even Ricochet himself, when Tyler came out, was beaming. He was like, oh, this is so nice.
This is lovely. Hey! So yeah, very, very happy to see Tyler in this one-off appearance. I'd quite happily see him there more.
Do more of this stuff. I just think... I like open challenges as an idea.
Yes.
It's a good way to have the belts feature. You know, not every belt needs to be 6 months worth of build up to it actually being changed or whatever. Like it can feel like it could change, not every week, but like that's the point, isn't it? Like
yeah, totally.
It should feel like it could
anything could happen. That's kind of the magic of wrestling.
And you're a fighting champion. You want to defend that belt and things like that. It's the same thing when Cena used to do the US Open Challenge. It was the best thing on WWE week in and week out, because it was just John Cena essentially going like, I want to showcase some of the lads backstage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me 20 minutes of TV time and we're going to have, I'm going to cut a promo for 5 minutes and then we're going to have a 15 minute match. A, everyone looks great in the end. And that's when you had like those NXT call-ups and surprises like Sami Zayn, who injured himself in the process, and Kevin Owens made his main roster debut through that open challenge. It was there just to facilitate that debut.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is great stuff. And that's why I think it was such a crushing disappointment when Seth Rollins announced he was going to do an IC open challenge.
Dolph.
And it was Dolph Ziggler, and everyone was like, well, wonderful. I've seen this match 1,000 times this year already.
Someone could have got to the curtain quick.
Oh,
so, you know, just like, he was beat into Gorilla. Come on, this week.
Problem is, he was standing there backstage with a record ready to scratch it, so he could ruin everything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So it kicked off on NXT announcing that EC3 is going to face Bubbles Fish and about that Ricochet Open Challenge. And then we got that opening contest of Bubbles Fish versus the top 1% of EC3. Adam Cole cut a promo before the match. Kyle O'Reilly, the unsung hero of 2018. He's just the best.
Kyle O'Reilly is the definition of background action. Like, it's action and background action. Yep, he's always doing something. He's so good.
This is how good Kyle O'Reilly is. We've got a segment here that's got Bobby Fish in a match and Adam Cole cutting a promo, and EC3 is also in a match, and also we want to talk about is Kyle O'Reilly just being, he's just great.
He's just in his own world. He's doing his own stuff the whole time.
I genuinely, I love this sometimes when, as a wrestling fan, when I feel like I'm really marking out for something, and watching the Undisputed Era, all four of them do their big entrance and get in the ring, and all four of them opposing. You've got Roderick Strong doing like his sort of pose thing. Yep. You've got Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish doing their "we're in a fighting game" on the character select screen poses, and Adam Cole doing the Bay Bay thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "This, I love it. This act is tremendous.
It's so brilliant.
It's so good." We met someone at the Fight Forever show on Friday. Mm. Who was wearing a Undisputed Era t-shirt with the full one with the S on it as well. And I was like, mate, that is a cool t-shirt. And he said, oh, I can do you one better than that. And he rolled up his sleeve on his cardigan that he was wearing, and he had it tattooed on his wrist.
Whoa.
That is how much into the Undisputed Era this chap was.
So much into it you should be, maybe.
Well, I completely agree.
I haven't got any space, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so into Friday the 13th, I got that tattooed on my arms. This is what you do. Mm. And also, another person we met up that evening, we've got to give a shout out to, and I'm kicking myself because it's either Jack or Jake. I think it's Jake.
Mm.
I'm almost certain it is, but it could also be Jack. It's definitely
Choose the right one.
Yeah, choose the right one.
Jake or Jack. Thank you. When you're here.
Thank you very much for approaching us. You weren't as drunk as your mate claimed you were. I actually thought you were fine. And you were an absolute pleasure to chat to. Because he says that he told me that he doesn't watch any of the other Wrestle Rambles. He only watches the NXT one, which is why I've been saving that shout out for this episode. But what I would say, mate, is just download the podcast. Just save your data. Like, don't stream this on your phone, on your commute, mate. It eats up so much data.
Download
it, mate. So much.
Or rip it off YouTube. Not that I'm condoning any of that.
Well, actually. I mean, I suppose we still get a click from it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, either way, it's fine.
Leave it running on YouTube at home. But down, yeah. There's many. You got options.
So, anyway, back to this match. This was a pretty little decent match between EC3 and Fish. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I thought it sort of did what it said on the tin, and it always kind of went the way I assumed it would be going. I didn't think it was a particular showcase for either guy, but it was fun and it had a good little ending.
And it really continues this story because EC3 won again with the same mechanic as well. Like that beer's come back soon.
It's too smoky.
Could be smokier. The same mechanic happened again of EC3, you know, O'Reilly and Strong get up onto the ring apron, knock them both down, and then you get a surprise roll up win, and then Undisputed are like, no, you beat us. And you kind of wonder, like, where's this possibly leading to?
Yes.
Because he's now got two victories over two members of the Undisputed Era. He beat Adam Cole before War Games, and now he's beat Bobbles Fish here.
Yeah, and then he was saved from the beatdown by Heavy Machinery. So
yes.
I don't know, I feel like we're going through the setup a little bit.
We're saying War Games again.
So I'm a bit confused. However, yeah. I think, I don't know, potentially some sort of North American triple thready kind of the cards.
Yeah, because they were sort of setting up at the end of War Games that it's like Ricochet, Pete Dunne and Adam Cole. Like, that is a story that is not unfinished yet. So maybe we've got a triangle, and you're right, maybe we're going to split this out into a square. And EC3 is going to get involved
potentially his last match in NXT, I guess, if the rumours about him moving on to the main roster are true.
Absolutely, exactly. But yeah, I thought it was a fine little match. I just really like Bobby Fish.
Yeah,
he's so good. He's got an amazing look. That's all I could focus on in this match is that he just looks really, really cool. Like, I've always thought EC3 looks like pretty generic. Like, if you went onto a character create screen, like, he would be the default setting. But then, like,
he looks like one of the Clay Fighters.
Yeah.
Bobby Fish is he's got that something about him. Like, he's so talkative as well, is what I like about him. Yeah. He's like constantly jibing people. Like the bit at the beginning where he like rolls straight out of the ring, like go DC3 into it, and then he goes and fist bumps all the rest of the Undisputed Era and gets back in.
Got this, guys.
Yeah. Gets back in, gets beat up for a bit, get on the apron, he starts chop blocking, he starts going, like, again, he's going after people's knees. He's got a real, like, I love the fact he's sort of worked that viciousness in there. And it's kind of gone unsaid that he's not, like, it's, you know, no one said outright, Bobby Fish, he's after your knees.
No.
Because he's quite cross about his one.
Exactly.
But, like, I like the fact that that's kind of what he's been low-key doing the whole time.
Subtle storytelling. And then afterwards, EC3 gets the win. The Undisputed Era all get in and start, like, beating him down and everything. And then, yeah, here comes Heavy Machinery coming down to make the save. Yeah, absolutely.
No t-shirts, though.
No, this wasn't workout or match ready. This was, we just want some steaks now.
I think they've been eating steak, yeah.
Oh, probably. Ducky.
They're on their way out. That's why they had the jeans on. Yeah. Jeans and then smart shoes. They're about to go.
Oh, absolutely. It looks like this is my going out gear. Absolutely. No t-shirt or anything.
Ducky. Come on, Ducky.
And I love this as well because everyone sort of bails to the outside, but Kyle O'Reilly is the last one. And he's sort of crawling and it's like, I'm about to get to safety. And then Heavy Machinery grab him. And the look on his face was like, oh no.
Yeah, and he goes up the ropes. He
grabs the ropes. And you've got Nigel on the commentary going, somebody save him.
That was a lot of fun. And then EC3 hits the one percenter, is it called?
Yes.
The one percenter. But then starts going, hoo!
Yeah, hoo! Moose, moose, moose.
But yeah, and then it's the caterpillar for the big elbow drop.
Yes.
Ducky!
If Otis does victory, I said it last week, if he is not WWE champion, this company has enough clue.
They don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely not. Backstage, we see Dakota Kai and Io Shirai being interviewed by the press.
In the Swiss village. In the Swiss town square.
Absolutely. Dakota Kai is wearing a t-shirt that says Kingslayer on it after following on from their League of Legends win. I don't really know what a League of Legends is, but...
It's a MOBA.
Okay.
He was an artist in the 90s, I believe.
Okay. Anyway, so there's born from that, but she killed Seth Rollins a lot, I guess. But she's wearing this this Kingslayer t-shirt, but it's in the Slayer font. Mm. So, which means I'm more in love with Dakota Kai this week than I was last week. She's just the best.
I've got no follow-on
nope.
from that.
Anyway,
a cul-de-sac of your own emotions.
I just love her, basically. And there are, but the press want to ask about Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke, clearly not noticing how awesome her t-shirt is, because if I was a member of that press, I'd be like, can you tell me more about this t-shirt?
Talk about what you're wearing.
Talk more about this Slayer t-shirt. What's your favourite Slayer album?
Okay.
And then they challenged Duke and Shafir to a match next week, which it's later announced that is going to happen. We're going to get the in-ring debut of Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir of the Horsewoman fame.
Against Dakota Kai and Io Shirai.
And I'm really, really looking forward to this because based on like house show reports from NXT, where Shafir and Duke have had like many matches at this point and they've had quite a lot of in-ring work, that the reports are that of the four of them, Jessamyn Duke's going to be the standout.
Mm.
And she is like...
The prodigy.
The prodigy. She's like, from all early reports, she's the best of all four of them.
Wow.
And you consider that how good Shayna Baszler is this and how good Ronda Rousey has been this year. She has had... we talked about this in the office, but she's yet to have a bad match.
No.
I mean, granted, they're rehearsed within an inch of their life, but I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
No.
But they matches are rehearsed, but she's so good at doing them. Like, she has had a 100% success rate on the main roster. And then Jessamyn Duke is apparently the best one.
Yeah.
What is she, Kurt Angle? Like, is
she going to she's going to do something crazy.
Yeah, she's just going to be absolutely incredible. And speaking of incredible, holy heckins, did I enjoy this. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan versus the Mighty.
This was wicked.
Following on from a couple of weeks ago where they had that house show match and the Mighty beat them down afterwards. Mm-hmm. This match went about 5 minutes. And I think they did about 20 minutes worth of stuff in there. And that 20 minutes was only Lorcan throwing uppercuts.
Within a minute, he'd done a tope. The first thing he did was just go, I'm just going to launch myself outside.
Yeah, they were basically like, we've got 5 minutes, lads. Right. So we need to, as soon as the bell rings, let's start. And it did. It was just this wild brawl early on. And I bloody love Loney Orkin. I think he's awesome.
Loney Orkin.
Yeah, Loney.
I love the Lonely Orca.
Lonely Orca.
It's a children's book.
He's so, so good. His uppercuts are amazing.
I love that sequence. I think it was with Miller, not Thorne. It was they were doing trading uppercuts, but they were catching each other as they were running to the ropes to get speed up, and they kept doing it. And then Miller jumps up to do a hurricanrana,
and
he just power bombs him, and then just immediately flips him over into a single leg crab, and then gets caught by the other guy.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Like, I was thinking while I was watching this, I would love to see a Oney Lorcan Cesaro match.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to tell which one was which.
Yeah, well, granted, yeah. And then all of a sudden, so I'm like, here, all my notes are just like, God damn it. Loney Orkin's amazing. He's so, so good. Loney Orkin, bloody love him. He's really, really great. And then all
of a sudden... You're spelling it wrong in all your notes.
And then all of a sudden, Danny Burch tags in. And I'm like, oh, God, Burch is awesome. Danny Burch is awesome. I'd love to see him in a match with Cesaro. Right. He's just brilliant.
Give all of these men a match with Cesaro.
Oh, man. I had so much fun with this match. And we're talking all about Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch here, but the Mighty were really great in this as
they
well.
Were
they,
great, yeah.
Like, they hit their superplex powerbomb combination thing that they do, which is really awesome. And at this moment when like Miller hits a power slam, and then Thorne uses Miller getting the pin as a springboard to do a cannonball onto Burch in the corner. It was a really cool sick. Like, they hit the Thunder Valley, which is reversed into a double DDT, and then Lorcan has my spot of the match, which is just, I'm just going to start slapping you lot. Slap, 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 slap. The Mighty just like, oh, no, I haven't enough of this. They start to slap him back. He ducks, and Thorne, I'm going to get this wrong here, but Miller slaps Thorne, assisted DDT, and the only, and Burch
win.
Oh, man, it ruled.
It was really good.
Loved it.
I just feel sorry for the Mighty, and they keep having good matches,
man.
But they just go nowhere. Like, they should have just been elevated into the picture for the tag titles at some point. Like, just in that sort of throwaway, at least in just the throwaway way that Burch and Lorcan were, like, down the line. Like, you know, the only reason they're getting this push now as like a really amazing tag team is because they had that one match.
Yeah.
And that was built off the back of not really very much in terms of NXT storytelling, considering like how long they spent on Johnny Gargano, like how long we've spent on him just to get here. They had like 3 weeks of being like, oh, we don't like each other, and then they were like, now we're a tag team, and then they were like, title shot. And that was it. It was
what it said,
you know,
on the boards.
It was just
in the office.
Filler for stuff. So, you know.
I love this. I mean, we've had a pretty good week of main events on TV, because you had like the TLC match on Monday, you had the Asuka Charlotte Flair match on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But this might be my favorite WWE match of the week. It's so much fun. I bloody loved it. I absolutely loved it. More of that.
A 5-minute firecracker.
Oh, God, it was awesome. They did a recap of the Ciampa and Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano angle from last week, the main events of last week's show, announcing that the steel cage match that was set up in that angle will take place next week.
Boom.
So, from what I can gather, because a few people sent this across to me, they're probably not going to show all of the assembly of the cage, because it took them a heck of a lot of time to assemble it.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually when you do it in Raw and SmackDown...
you've lost the instructions.
Yeah, because you just lower it down from the ceiling.
You've got to actually put it up.
Exactly. Yeah, you haven't got that option at full sale. You've got to go down there with all the bits and pieces.
I'd suggest opening with that, maybe.
And
then just editing it to be the end of the show.
Could be. Yeah, like you do that match, and then later on you film an angle where it's like, we're going to set up a steel cage match. Wink to the audience. Play along, lads.
Nudge.
When I was at the Rev Pro tapings, Colt Cabana won his match, and then his microphone wouldn't work because he was meant to do an in-ring promo afterwards. And his mic wouldn't work, and he was like, bop, 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 this doesn't work. So then the ring announcer gave him his microphone, bop, 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 that didn't work either. And so they were just sort of like, blah, blah. Finally, they managed to get another microphone out there, and Colt Cabana just goes, all right, guys. Magic of editing. Let's all pretend I just won the match again. And he whips the crowd. And the crowd reacted so louder the second time. Because we were all pretending. Everyone was like, "Way!" God, I was like, oh, God, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Goodness.
It was so good.
The one thing he's forgotten there is that you can underlay sound in an edit as well. So they didn't have to do anything.
Sweeten that crowd. Sweeten them.
Get that nap.
And anyway, Johnny Gargano then cuts a cell phone promo similar to the one that he did a few weeks back. Well, in the lead up to TakeOver War Games. And he says that Aleister Black cannot absolve him of his sins because he never sinned in the first place. Lovely line.
He did nothing wrong. It was all for the greater good.
The greater good. And he said that Black tried to stop him from ridding the world of Ciampa. And he says, now, Aleister Black's just in my way. So I'm going to have to beat him up in a steel cage. And he's next to this guardrail. And so he kneels down next to the guardrail. So then it looks like he's in a cage.
Amazing. Oh, mise en scène.
This was bloody lovely. This was very nice. Very much enjoyed it. We've got another video package for Dijakovic. He's going to be debuting next week. Or re-debuting, I suppose, because he's already been on TV. And then we've got a segment with Shafir, Duke, and Baszler with Kathy Kelly.
The Angel.
And Baszler says that it doesn't matter who wins the four-way, that's going to be the number one contendership four-way, because they're just going to get beaten anyway. So what's the point? Good point. And then Shafir and Duke laughed off the challenge that Io and Kai made. They want a match.
Heel, heel, heel. He'll laugh like the Muppets.
Heel, we're going to walk away. We're just going to walk away now.
Maniacal laugh.
We went to go see them up at Christmas Carol the other day. I mean, you didn't go because bar humbug.
Christmas.
But I had a bloody lovely time. And Regal then announced that due to the win that she got on a live event, Lacey Evans has also qualified for the four-way for the number one contendership to the Women's Championship. So we currently got Bianca Belair, who won a match on a house show, and Lacey Evans, who also won a match on a house show. And then we had a match between Mia Yim and Reyna Gonzalez, she of the first round of the Mae Young Classic 2 fame, for the another one of those spots. And
wonder how that's going to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't think this was much of a match. And I really feel like I'm going to get labeled as someone who doesn't like Mia Yim. Because ever since she's come into NXT, all I've done is say, didn't like that segment.
She's not faced off against anyone worth lying home about.
And she's really good.
But that's
she's
the thing. She's great. Squashing people doesn't really, squashing people doesn't actually show that you're good.
Yeah.
Squashing people just shows that you've got three moves that might look... unless your move is Ricochet's 630.
Yeah.
That doesn't really show much anyway. Like, you know, there's cool moves, and then there's I do three things and then you fall down and I win.
I don't want to come across like I'm being negative on Mia Yim because I really do like Mia Yim.
Mm.
It's just I don't think she's had a great run in NXT thus far. But then again, she's not been given the opportunity to have a great run. No. I think it was on a Patreon podcast. I did say that her first round match in the Mae Young Classic against Sienna was god awful because it was bloody terrible.
I just thought this was like it. I felt also that Reina Gonzalez feels like a bit of a joke. Like she comes out with this, she comes out with a cowbell on a rope, assless chaps.
Yeah, she does come out.
But they're
like,
not assless chaps.
No,
they're jeans that she's cut the middle out of.
Yeah, she comes out basically looking like Stan Hansen. Like, and I think that's what she's going for. She's like Stan Hansen or Blackjack Mulligan or you know something along these lines. And she's got a cowbell. Mara Ronello says like, I've always said that NXT needs more cowbell, and thank God here we are because she like swings that cowbell around. She's got fire. She's massively into this. She's a big old Texan. She's about 12 foot tall. Mm. She towers over everyone, but she's... I've seen her in two matches thus far, and I've not been impressed with either.
No. And some of this was sloppy from me as well, I would say.
And it's an edited show.
Yeah. It was a bit just... This should have been a literal squash match.
Yeah.
And should have been less back and forth than it was for a bit.
And then,
even though when you went, 5 minutes was it?
And it's also, of the three people that have qualified for this number one contendership match, this is the only one we've seen on TV.
Mm.
Because Bianca Belair was on a live show that we didn't see, and Lacey Evans was on a live show that we didn't see either. But this one, they thought, got to televise this one. Got to televise that one.
Still telling the Mia Yim story. That's
absolutely.
Why.
Eat defeat, Mia Yim won. So she's in
with a really long, but at the end of a really long and slow flurry of blows.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, don't want to sound too down on it. Aleister Black then cut a smoky promo, a bit like that beer, and people are asking him how he feels about this cage match, and then he just sort of turns to the camera and is like, I don't feel anything. I just don't feel anything. I've got something I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Gargano is far from redemption. He will fade to black. Good promo from Aleister Black.
His only option is annihilation, was one of the things that Aleister Black said.
Mortal Kombat annihilation.
Intense.
Absolutely. It was intense. Good promo to end off our review. So I suppose let's end on a high. Decent episode of NXT, though. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah.
And it felt like it moved things slowly. Like, I'm obviously, as soon as you mentioned that there's going to be a steel cage match between Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano next week, I'm kind of like, yeah, is it next week here?
Yeah. Oh, not only that, we also got the in-ring debut of Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke on NXT TV and Dijakovic re-debuting in NXT. So next week, it's a stacked show.
Yeah.
Really stacked show. So very much looking forward to that. I'm really, really stoked for it, actually. Yeah, I thought it was a fun episode of NXT. My only request now of NXT to take me into the new year, or maybe like as a little, here's your New Year's treat. Here's to ease you back into the office life because we're going to have to come back into January 3rd. Here's to ease you back in.
On January 3rd, I'm back in. Before then.
Oh yeah, are you doing New Year's Day?
No, I'm not doing New Year's Day.
Yeah,
I'm doing after Christmas though, between then and New Year.
Oh yeah. No, I'm doing Christmas Eve. But yeah, all I want is like to welcome me back into 2019. Mm-hmm. I want an hour long match between Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch and the Mighty. That's what I'm after.
Oh, let's have that.
Just give me a whole like the whole episode of NXT is just these four lads slapping the S out of each other. Yes, please.
What about a slaps only match?
Yes.
You get disqualified if you do anything but slaps.
Oh no, but then you miss out on all of their flippity doos.
And
I do like the flippity doos from the Mighty. So yeah, I'd love to see that's what I'm after. So that can be my early Christmas present, guys. So let's start with that email I referenced earlier, that I teased earlier. Unfortunately, people had to suffer us talking about NXT for a good 40
before
minutes
we
before
got
we
to
get
the board
there.
Games
well, that's what we're all here for.
The crux of the show.
Really, it is. Hello, Luke and Laurie. Because you both seem so... I'll try that again. Because you both seem to be connoisseurs of board games, may I suggest Shadows in the Forest? It's basically a hide-and-seek board game played in the dark. It's the best way I can describe it.
What?
Yeah.
Meh? But how do you see the board?
Well, that's it. Is it like...
Are you in the dark or is the game in the... What?
I don't know. I'm going to do a YouTube search of it when we get back to the office. Also, Luke, I once asked you on Twitter if you were a Magic the Gathering fan. I am not. You said no. Yes, I did. But I suggested trying Commander format and you said you'd think about it. Did you ever give it a shot? Also, Laurie, do you ever play Magic?
No, I don't play Magic. I did play Yu-Gi-Oh! When I was younger. I got into that big time after having watched the anime, Heart of the Cards and all that stuff.
Yep.
I did play Hearthstone for a while when that first came out, and then I realised how much of a money sink that would be. Apparently, to stay competitive, it's like 200 quid or something every few months. Oh. Like, it's bafflingly, like, regular, their content updates, and it's almost annoying.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, normally with a game, you're like, oh, great, new content. With this one, it's like, oh, that's cost.
Yes.
Oh, so much cost.
What was the one you recommended to me yesterday? So
the one I recommended yesterday, and this is a by the guy who did Magic, Richard something.
Mm.
It's called Keyforge, and it is a yeah. So it is a unique card game in the sense that every single deck of the game is random. It's like there's an algorithm that creates the decks and then packages them, but they're all unique. So no one will have the same deck as someone else. You can't buy booster packs to get new cards. You can't create your own deck by theory crafting it or whatever you want to do.
Mm.
The only way you can play is with the deck that you have bought.
And it's an interesting concept, which I quite like, because like the booster pack concept, why I like Star Realms so much, because Star Realms isn't a game that's based on booster packs or anything like that. You essentially buy the game and then you've got the game. But I suppose it's probably why Star Realms doesn't make a lot of money. But at the same time, like if you buy a deck and then it turns out you don't like that deck, you just have to buy a brand new
deck.
You
buy a brand new deck. Yeah, the cost is slightly bigger, but you spend 10 quid and you got something that's playable.
Yeah.
Usually.
I would be tempted by it. I think I would be.
So there's a starter pack that I saw that was like 40 quid or something.
Yeah, 40 quid. And
you get two decks that are meant to be played in like a practice game that are the same in every starter pack, and then there's two unique decks in there as well.
Oh, very nice. That's cool.
Yeah, it seems interesting. I was watching some reviews of it last night. It seems like a game that I would like.
Yeah.
Like, I feel, because I'm not actually very good at in card games is building a deck. So like Smash Up suits me perfectly. Keyforge sounds like it suits me perfectly, because if someone has already done it or a computer has done it and I just have to work with what I've got, I'm usually fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just really bad at going like, what's the optimum, like min-maxing your deck to be like, this is the most efficient way to get through all these cards and do this thing.
Star Realms would wind you up a tree, because it's all about, like, there is like everyone has the same option of cards to get, but it's all about buying cards before other people buy them to build up your own ideal deck.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing it in the game, because then there's also still that point where someone takes it and you're like, fine, and then maybe if there's a limited selection,
fine. There's only like five.
If there's
cards.
Every card in the game ever, I just sit there going, my brain hurts.
Yeah, no, like, you've always got five cards in front of you. Bloody love Star Realms. Anyway, let's have a quick Wrestle Talk Get Better, shall we? I'm going to do this one here from James Henderson. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I believe I've heard you were low on Get Better, so I thought I would add mine. A couple of weeks ago, I thought I heard Luke mention, mostly in passing, that he had a medical condition that he was dealing with. If I made that up, then please ignore me. But if I really did hear it, then I hope you are well, Luke. No, I do. It's not anything that needs to be worried about. I mentioned that because I also suffer from a medical condition that happens to be pretty rare. Hooray for me. It is called, and good luck saying this right on your first try. Oh, you're right. Immune thrombocytopenia. Let's see what you can do. So ITP for short. It's this one here.
Immune thrombocytopenia.
That's pretty good, actually. What he said. That is a fancy way of saying I have a low platelet count in my blood. If you are unfamiliar with platelets, they are what causes your blood to clot. Whenever you have low platelets, you are at a risk of bruising and bleeding easily. Difficult if you stop bleeding, and at a low enough count, spontaneous bleeding, usually from the nose, but can be anywhere. Not a fun thought. Throw in extreme fatigue and you have a pretty major change in my life. I was diagnosed in 2016 at the age of 30, and it was frightening, not just for me, but for my wife and my son, who was two at the time. After many doctor visits, I find that there is no cure for this, only treatment. Luckily for me, my counts are high enough that I do not need treatments. Well, Mary, that is good news for you. I've just had to be careful and be monitored for my doctors multiple times a year. Same sort of boat, mate. Similarly, since there was nothing I could do to raise the platelets, I decided to fight the fatigue and begin exercising, and I had a plan. Running, weightlifting, CrossFit. I did it all. And just a couple of weeks ago, I ran my first 5K obstacle course / mud run. It wasn't a great time, but it wasn't meant to be. If I was to prove I... Oh, it was just to prove I could do it. A proof of concept, if you will. And a first step to the real goal, raising awareness for my condition. A picture is attached if you care. We do. The purple shirt is on purpose as it's the awareness colour for ITP. The goal is much bigger, one that involves television. I don't know if it will reach that goal since it's not all in my hands, but I do know that I am capable. I will keep you updated as I am able. Thank you for taking the time to read this. As a rallying cry for the ITP community, platelets up. James from Mississippi, no Twitter yet, working on some branding ideas. And there he is there. At his run. I think it's called Terrain Racing by the look of it.
Wow.
Congratulations on your medal that looks like you got there as well. Excellent stuff.
Good stuff. Did they do the electric shock thing? Have you seen that? Tough Mudder, they do those.
Well, the only way I've heard of it is when George tells us,
yeah.
our dungeon master, because he's done Tough Mudder to the point now where I was talking to him about it. He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm a bit bored of it now.
It was quite boring, actually.
It's quite bored of it. I've just done all of them now. I've just done all the tasks.
I've seen every single thing you could imagine using mud and water and just getting dirty.
Electric shocks and ice and whatnot.
He's not actually this posh. He's a bit, though. Pretty posh,
he's
but pretty he ain't this posh.
So
don't be mean on George in case he's a flipping lurker.
He's been
listening this whole time and
he's never
mentioned it.
He's Lars Sullivan, really. So thank you very much for your emails that you've sent in, everyone. We're gonna have some jokes to round this up. Apologies if we've not got to any of your agony arts requests. I know some of you have sent in some agony arts. There was one of them I did want to point out. I won't mention their name, but they mentioned, they sent me a very, very long email, mm-hmm. About a particular relationship issue that they're currently having, and I did read through the whole thing, and I'm very, very sorry about your scenario. We'll try and see if we can get onto the podcast, but let's see, 27 paragraphs.
Whoa.
So very unlikely we are to get that onto the podcast, but we'll try and see what we can do. Thank you very much for your email. Anyway, let's have some jokes to brighten up the mood before we get out of here. Not that one. let's see. Why do girl ants sink in water?
I don't know.
Because they're not boy ant enough.
Ah.
Brought a dog from a blacksmith. As soon as I got it home, it made a bolt for the door. Those are both from Christopher, aka Leroy Jenkins. Connor has sent in this email. Let's see if it's okay to read. It seems to be. I went to the bar the other day and asked the bartender for the Wi-Fi password. He said, you'd have to buy a drink first. So I was like, all right, I'll have a Coke, please. He said, is Pepsi okay? I said, it'll do. How much? £2.50 came his reply. A little steep, but I needed the password, so I paid. So what's the password, I asked. You need to buy a drink first. No spaces, all lowercase.
Oh.
That is a bad joke. That's a bloody awful joke. Jaron Walker sends in, did you hear about the kidnapping? He woke up. That's good. I'm going to save that one because I'm going to give that to Ollie on tomorrow's show as well, because I think that's a very good joke. Anyway, thank you so much for all of your correspondence. Luke@russelltalk.com if you want to get in touch. We're going to be back tomorrow, the three of us, fingers crossed. We've got a couple of technical issues that may stop us doing that, but we're trying to work around
no them. Sound is the issue.
Yeah, or not enough sound. Yeah, we might have to like share headsets between us, but anyway, we're going to try and have all three of us back here tomorrow for TLC predictions, obviously tying into Wrestle League.
Whoa,
which is all important and worth keeping up with. So thank you very much for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.